ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
परस्तस्मात्तु भावोऽन्यो व्यक्तो व्यक्तात् सनातनः यत् सर्वेषु भूतेषु नश्यत्सु न विनश्यति।
Yet there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is.
Avyaktokshara ityuktas tamahu paramam
gatyam
yam prapyani nivartante tadhama paramam mama.
That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as a supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. So in the previous verses, Krishna said, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. This material world is created and annihilated and again created and again annihilated. In this way, everything in the material world is helplessly annihilated. And here he says, whereas there is another supreme destination, parastasmattu bhavo anyaha, there is another destination. Yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. When all this is destroyed, that is not destroyed. That is spiritual world. So material world, as we have been seeing in the previous verses also, is always a place of care and anxieties. Always. You see, the very same elements that are very essential for our survival can become the cause of our death. Like earth. Without earth we cannot even stand. But the very same earth can cause the earthquake. Then one goes underground. So we are helplessly defeated by that. Fire. Without fire you cannot cook in the kitchen. But by fire accident, fire consumes people. Similarly, air. When there is a typhoon, cyclone, then houses are carried away. Thousands of people die in that. Similarly, water, floods. Water is so essential for our cleaning of the body and drinking and for cooking, everything. Water is so essential. But the very same water can become a cause of our death. Similarly, everything. Ether. It's a space. Actually, you cannot realize the importance of ether by sitting in a big room like this. But if you are in a lift, if you try to squeeze in more than 6 or 7 people, then you can understand the importance of space. Ether. So, because of lack of space, also like stampede we call it, isn't it? By stampede people die. So, every one of these elements can become a cause of even our death. That is material world. So, material world is always a very dangerous place. Padam padam jati padam natesham. That can be danger at every step. There is danger. It's a place of care and anxiety. There is anxiety for everything. If you see eating, sleeping, mating, defending, every one of these activities brings about so many anxieties. For example, while eating, if you overeat, then it doesn't digest. So you have fear. So I am getting stomach ache now. On the other hand, there is fear that how will I earn money to fill up my belly and to care for the dependents. There is always fear whether I will get to eat, whether I will have food tomorrow. Many houses are fear. Isn't it? Similarly, while eating also you have to discriminate which is edible and which is not. Sometimes if you eat a poisoned food, then that can lead to death. So, in this way, even a simple activity of eating entails so many different types of anxieties. Similarly, sleeping also. Some people have problem of sleeping too much. If you sleep too much, then you become lazy, you feel very busy, and you grow fatter if you sleep too much. And there is loss of work. On the other hand, there are people having insomnia, not able to sleep whole night. They are just rolling in the bed, they are not able to sleep at all. So, material life means it can lead to either of the extremes. Similarly, there is a big fight and competition for the partner in the world. You know, in America there is a something called a triangular love, they call it. If one woman is loved by two men or one man is loved by two women, there can be several assassinations because of that. So, dogs are fighting in the street and educated men are also fighting. There's not much difference. The goal is the same. Just to get a partner. People can fight like that. Then even lose life. There is fear of loss of life. That is mating. Similarly, defending. Everyone is trying to defend at all times. Everyone. Like you see, the houses are closed with huge gates. The walls are decorated with sharp glass pieces so that nobody can climb on the wall. You find the boat, beware of dogs. So these are all signs of fear. Like in a bank, you see a man standing with a gun, with a chain. So this is the fear of life or fear of loss of money. So we are trying to defend. So everyone is trying to defend. The poor men are afraid that rich men will exploit us. Similarly, the subordinates are afraid that the boss may throw me out. There is always fear. So everyone is trying to defend his or her position in this world. So all these things show how there is anxiety at every part of life. And Prabhupada gave a simple example. He said, see, this world offers some tiny pleasure, some very small amount of pleasure, due to which the whole world is running behind it. He gave an example, if there is a bar or a restaurant, where there is a board, there is an invitation, please come in, come in, come in. Everyone is invited. And there are many men who are going inside. And there are some naked dancing shows going on, people are drinking liquor and smoking cigarettes. And you can do whatever you want, you can enjoy life. But only the risk is after some time you will be asked to go out. You will be pushed outside. But then there are men, several men, standing there with guns. And inevitably everyone who comes out will be shot dead. That is the condition with which you will be allowed in. So which intelligent man will go inside? So Prabhupada said only a fool will go. Only a fool who thinks at least I will enjoy some pleasure. What happens later, don't ask me. I'm ready to die also. So at least now I'll get some pleasure immediately. This is the meaning of sense gratification. It appears like we get something immediately tangible, but then for that we have to suffer life after life, so many lifetimes. So, material world puts everyone into suffering. At all times one is put into suffering. You see, a small child doesn't know the suffering of the world so much. Because he is so much taken care by the mother and father, nourished by their care and love. But when he grows up, he can understand how many anxieties are there. How much parents have to take anxiety to protect the child. From the fire, from the accident, from jumping out of the window. So many fears parents have. But in the son, when the child also grows up, then he cannot understand what the world is. So in the previous verse also, Krishna explains the same thing, that this world is a place of suffering. You are not allowed to remain in one position steadily. You see, everyone is looking for a stable platform to put their foot. Like there is a story of Sheikh Chilli. You heard of Sheikh Chilli story? He was sitting on a branch which was a very comfortable position. He thought it was such a firm position. And he took an axe and started cutting. But how he was cutting? The tree was on this side and he was sitting in the branch and he was cutting the tree. So one intelligent man passing by asked him, "What are you doing?" So Sheikh Chilli said, "See, I am sitting in a comfortable position, what is the problem?" But he was cutting, which would ultimately lead him to fall on the ground and break his head. This is material life. If one is simply leading material life and not worrying about the future, he is actually paving way for a future disaster. You see, in the material world people don't think about future so much. People think, what about today? Or what about tomorrow morning? That's all, nothing more than that. Recently I heard, in Maharashtra there are about 4 to 5 lakh youths having no job, unemployment. So what is to be done, was the question mark. So some politicians give advice that they can be engaged in distilleries. Distilleries are liquor making companies. So we can increase the liquor making company and can produce more liquor. And these people also can be paid salary because liquors are selling very fastly. But these people don't think of the future consequences. Just imagine if these 4 lakh people are involved in liquor shops and you open hundreds and thousands of liquor producing factories, then in future those who drink liquor, and they will have broken families, and they will cause damage to society, and there will be adultery, and there will be unrest in companies. And later on they found out there are more than 20 problems that would arise because of engaging these people in liquor producing companies. So most often modern man doesn't think seriously what life is all about, how to face my future, how to shape my future. People rarely think about it. Here Krishna is talking about another world, which is a place where there is no birth, old age, disease and death, what we find in this world. So in the previous 3-4 verses he talked about the anxieties of this world. Whereas here he is saying, when one goes to that world, there is no destruction there. You see, if you want to achieve a comfortable position, certainly you have to follow in the footsteps of someone who has already achieved it. Like for example, if somebody comes from America and then tells you, America is a very wonderful place. There are so many facilities, the roads are so nice, the buildings are so nice, there is so much money, I had a very nice time there. And you are a poor man, you don't have money to go there. Especially to go by aeroplane, you must be spending some 20,000 one way. So you don't have so much money. So you have to hear from somebody who is coming from there. So he gives information and that is how you come to know. Also, in history, we talk about so many great personalities who existed, like Gandhi. So how do you know Gandhi existed? What is the proof? If you challenge someone, can you prove that Gandhi existed? How will they be able to prove? Maybe they can show his spectacles, Maybe they can show his sandals, or they can take you to Porbandar, show his birthplace. What more can they show? They cannot bring that person Gandhi in front of you. Similarly, so I talked of 2 things, a person and a place. Similarly, when we speak of God, who is absolute, who is the source of all happiness, and that he has an abode, which is called a spiritual world, certainly an element of faith is involved in it. And the faith is certainly worth putting in people who are very honestly following the path laid by God. For that matter, we put faith in so many people of this world. Why do we not put faith? We go to a barber shop and show our neck when he is shaving. He puts his knife just close to the neck. If he just presses it 2 millimeters, we'll be finished. Just one little pressure will be sensed. But then we have faith that he will not kill us. In this way we have faith in practically everyone, just like you see TV advertisement. And in the TV advertisement somebody comes with a white color coat. We don't know whether he is a doctor or not. Simply, if somebody wears a white color coat, what do you think? He must be a doctor. And he says, he takes some Saridone and tells you. So if this, your headache will be gone. And at once millions of people put faith in him. So any beautiful model, they must have taken him to act in the role of a doctor. So he wears a coat and he tells you, eat this tablet and then eat it. So this is the way you put faith in people. Somebody comes and tells you, use this soap, you'll become happy like me. They show all their teeth. And you put faith. So we put faith in so many petty things of this world. But here, again, as we spoke of the authoritative statements of Krishna in the previous verses, similarly here, Krishna is revealing a very sublime truth. That don't think that this is the only world and you have to continue to suffer. No. Krishna is giving a way out. That there is a spiritual world far beyond this material world where there is no suffering. And that is the ultimate place. That is the ultimate shelter for everyone. See, everyone is travel-stained. You know the word travel-stained? Travel-stained means one who after a long travel has become tired of traveling. Now he wants to stop and rest. So generally people consider their home to be the only place for the best rest, for ultimate rest. People think home is the best place. That's why they put home sweet home. People put this slogan, home is the sweetest home. People consider home to be the sweetest place. But in the scriptures it is said, even that home is perishable. Actually, although we put home sweet home, it doesn't remain sweet always. Sometimes it is bitter, sometimes sweet. Sometimes there are fights and quarrels. People forget to see the label, sweet. They have a big fight sometimes. Sometimes there is happiness. There is a mixed situation in the world. But still people feel, when you are going out of the home, you feel very restless. When you come back, you feel a little sick. But even such a place is temporary. The spiritual world is such a home where you can put a full stop to all your material suffering. Completely. A complete full stop. There is no more suffering. There is a beautiful verse in Bhagavatam that says, Marganti yate mukapadmani dai chanda suparnai rishayo vivikte yasyadamashoda viviksaraya padam padam teetha parapadanna. The Lord's beautiful face is compared to a nest. Why a nest? Because the birds which are wandering in the sky all over the world, all day long in search of food, finally they come to their nest in the evening, which they find to be the ultimate shelter. Similarly, they say, Krishna's beautiful lotus-like face is the resting place for his devotee. Somehow or other, if one becomes attracted by the smile of the Lord, then one will not have to undergo the unlimited sufferings of this material world. What is that verse? Very nice verse in Bhagavatam. It says, Shoka Ashra Sagara Vishoshana Atyudara. It says, Shoka Ashra Sagara Vishoshana. Shoka Ashra Sagara means ocean of tears. People are crying ocean of tears in the material world. But Vishoshana means one who dries up that ocean of tears. Atyudara. That is the beauty of the face of Krishna. So that face should be meditated upon. And Kapila says this. There are three verses he talks about the beauty of the Lord. So if somehow or other, they become attracted to the beautiful face of Krishna, then like a bird finds its home, similarly they also have found the spiritual world, glories of association of devotees. One has to hear about all these things. So then one can develop attraction. After many, many lifetimes, this attraction comes. Otherwise, everyone is going to temple. There are many people putting coins. People are coming and going. But how many people develop real attraction to understand about God, to understand the spiritual world, to get out of this world and go there. How many people think about it? Where is you think about it? In fact, when the Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were about to be born, there was darkness that was pervading the whole sky. And all the demigods, they became very frightened. They could not see anything. Recently I was traveling in the train when I went through Lonavala. So when I looked out of the window, my Lord, it was completely whitish. You couldn't see anything. You can't see trees, you can't see mountains. Practically it is like smoke. We call it fog. Fog has covered completely. So like that there was darkness at one time. Now the demigods with four palms, they prayed to Brahmaji, asking about what is this darkness? Why all of us are suffering? We are not able to do any of our activities. So that time the Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, two big demons, are about to be born. So even before their birth they were creating such a trouble. So Brahmaji, taking advantage of the opportune moment to tell the demigods about how this world is always a place of suffering. And then beyond this world there is a spiritual world, the kingdom of God. He took opportunity and he spoke to them. He told them how my four sons are, the Satish Kumaras, they went to the spiritual world. At that time he tells the story of the Satish Kumaras trying to enter the Vaikuntha Loka and the doorkeeper stopping him, Jai and Vijay. Then the prasam comes there. So in third chapter he explains about the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha. What is Vaikuntha? He explains to them. He tells them, Vaikuntha is such a place where all the residents, they all look like Vishnu. Their forms are exactly like Vishnu. They have 400 forms. In the material world you don't find anybody 400. Here in Vaikuntha Loka everyone is having 400 forms. And they all look, their bodies look like bluish sapphire. They are dressed in beautiful ornaments and beautiful crown, beautiful earrings, garlanded, wearing ankle belts. So they look very, very beautiful. And they all are absorbed in service to Lord Vishnu. Although they look like Vishnu, they don't have the potencies of Vishnu. They all look like Vishnu. Just like all of us look like Prime Minister of India. He is also like you and me. What is the difference? We don't have his powers and potencies. Simply by twinkling his eyebrow, he can, you know, make whole India shake. He can apply any law all over India. But we can't do that. Similarly, Vishnu Dutas are the inhabitants of kingdom of God. They all look like Vishnu. That's called a Sarupya Mukti. Sarupya means their Rupa is very much like Vishnu. And he said, they all are rendering service to Lord Vishnu. That is their only activity there. There is no other occupation. You don't have to go to factories. You don't have to work in computer. Or you don't have to work in lathe and milling machine and drilling machine. Or you don't have to manage people in your company. You don't have to travel in the heavy crowd of the trains. There is no air pollution, water pollution. Nothing of the kind we have here. So he said, their only activity there is service to Lord Vishnu. Different type of services, like we do now Vida Bhakti here. So they all render service to the Lord. And he said the spiritual world is full of beautiful trees, bushes. They are called as Kalpavriksha trees. Kalpavriksha trees, Kalpavriksha means desire tree. Desire tree can give you anything you want. Anything you desire, it will give. So from a mango tree you can get only mango, but from a Kalpavriksha tree you can even get apple from a mango tree. You can get apple, you can get any fruit you want immediately. So it fulfills all the desires. So Vaikuntha Vasis, when they want a flower garland, they immediately ask flower garland and then they can take it and offer it to the Lord immediately. If they want a chamar, they get a chamar immediately to do service to the Lord. So the Kalpavriksha trees can give anything you desire. And all the gardens, they are filled with so many varieties of birds. There are cuckoos, there are cranes, there are parrots, there are peacocks, partridge, so many types of birds. Still, there is a humming bee, there is a bumblebee which keeps on humming the glories of Lord Vishnu. It is singing, moving here and there. singing some raga. So hearing that, all the other cuckoos, can you imagine cuckoo how sweetly it sings? Peacocks, all the other birds, hearing this bumblebee glorifying the Lord, they all keep mum. There is a lull, it is said, that pervades all the birds in Vaikuntha. They don't speak anything. They all attentively hear the glories of the Lord sung by this bumblebee. Such a tiny creature. Children, he sings, none of them try to compete with him. Prabhupada says in the material world, even a donkey wants to show off his voice. He makes a big sound. Why? Because in the material world, everyone mutually glorifies one another simply to increase each other's sense of gratification. It is that a donkey went to the party of a camel. Camel had a birthday party. He caught all the forest animals. So all the animals had brought their gifts, except the donkey. So donkey was feeling very uneasy. Everyone has brought a gift, I haven't brought anything. So should I go back, he thought. Then he thought, anyway I have come. So let me offer something. So he thought, let me offer some sweet words. So what sweet words to offer? He just went to him and told him, oh, you look so beautiful. Your rupam is very nice. Your form looks very attractive. Immediately he accepted. The camel also accepted. You have seen a camel, how he looks like? He thought he is very beautiful. But then he thought, I also have to give some words in reciprocation. So he said, your voice is very beautiful. He said, aho rupam ahotmani. So he was glorifying the rupa, he was glorifying the voice. So everyone is proud of their own nature. You see, in the material world, there is rivalry amongst equals and envy for the superiors. This is a symptom of material world. Always. There is always hankering for fame, adoration, distinction, superiority. That is material world. Whereas in spiritual world, we find even a simple bumblebee, when he is glorifying the Lord's names and form, past tense and qualities, everyone else wants to hear. Although they are more qualified than a bumblebee to sing. You see, even the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, he was just 16 years old. He was a young lad of 16 years age. Whereas there was Narada Muni sitting there. There were very many great Chaitanya saints assembled from all possible. Certainly all names you will find. Atri, Kashyapa, you will find even Vyasadeva sitting there. Such a great rishi sitting. Vedavyasa is actually the writer of all the scriptures. They all are sitting and hearing. So this is the symptom of a devotee, a non-envy. None of them were envious of a young boy speaking Bhagavatam. They were all ready to hear. Because whoever glorifies the Lord's name, form, pastime, qualities, others are ready to hear. Similarly, there were many beautiful flowers, like Parijata flower, lily flower, Utpala, there was Kunda flower, no? Kunda. Similarly, there were many other flowers which are all very fragrant. But all the flowers, they all offered respects to Tulasi Maharani. Tulasi is considered the topmost plant amongst all the plants. Why? Because Tulasi is very dear to Krishna. So, those who are devotees, they offer water to Tulasi every day. And they bow down. And they take the Tulasi leaves and they operate at the lotus feet of Krishna, along with sandalwood pulp. Also, they put Tulasi in the bhoga also. God is very pleased. So, Prabhupada is saying, one Swami in India was telling, what is the use of this Tulasi plant watering? Better you water some eggplant, at least you will get some fruits. So, Prabhupada is saying, this kind of foolish creatures, he writes. Foolish creatures who don't know the glory of Tulasi, they are also preaching religion. So we don't want to name the Swami. But there are many people like that who don't know the glory of Tulasi. Only in the path of devotional service, devotees know, yani kani chapapani, brahmahatyadi kani cha, tani tani pranashyanti, pradakshina pare pare. If one waters Tulasi and does pradakshina, one can even become free from the curse of brahmasha, brahmahatya. One can become free from that. Such is the glory of Tulasi. And if Tulasi is offered to the Lord, Lord is very pleased. In fact, in many temples they put Tulasi garland for the Lord. So understanding this, all the other plants, all the other flowers, they were all offering respects to Tulasi in the spiritual sky. Such is the nature of the plant also. And there were many inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka. They were all flying in airplanes. It is said that airplanes were made up of lapis lazuli. Lapis lazuli is vaiduria. Vaiduria, emerald and coral and such precious gems were bedecked in the Vaikuntha airplanes. And when they were traveling, they were also surrounded by so many of their consorts, who were all very beautifully decorated. And while flying in the airplanes, they were glorifying the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Although there were many madhavi plants there, which were very fragrant, and they were also carrying very sweet honey, still they were not at all attracted by that. This goes to show that the Vaikunthavasis, they are so much attracted by glorification of Vishnu that even the fragrance of madhavi plant cannot attract them. That means for them sense gratification is not of any interest. Because so much they are absorbed in glorification of Vishnu. And it is said, all their consorts, it is said that beauty cannot be described. Prabhupada often used to compare their beauty. He would say, the heavenly dancers, like Ramba, Urvashi, Menaka and all, in comparison to the best of the Miss Earth or Miss India or Miss America, whoever it is. If you compare Miss India or Miss Earth with heavenly dancers, they will look like cockroaches. Prabhupada said, the heavenly dancers are so beautiful. But if you compare the heavenly dancers with the Vaikuntha dancers, that is the consorts riding in the Vaikuntha, then the heavenly dancers would be like 90-year-old woman. Prabhupada said like that. So you can imagine how much beautiful they must be. There is a vivid description given how their teeth are like a row of pearls and how they are very beautifully decorated with so many different types of flowers and so many ornaments, ankles, they are wearing bangles, so many different types of ornaments they are wearing. And their beauty is described. Although they are surrounded by so many consorts who are so beautiful, these inhabitants of Vaikuntha were never attracted to their forms. They were never driven by passion, by their mirth and chance. So this is the standard of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. They were never attracted. How is it possible? Param drishtva nivartate. Prabhupada says, even in the heavenly planets, there are families, there are husband and wife, but there is no attraction for sex enjoyment. Because they are deriving such a advanced state of happiness that comes by even looking at Lord Vishnu, by entering service to Him, that there is no lower attraction in them. And it is said that all the goddesses of fortune, actually there is one supreme goddess of fortune who is served by many, many others, who are all consorts of the various inhabitants of Vaikuntha. Even all of them, they also render services like sweeping the floor, sweeping the wall. The wall are all made up of emerald, and in between gaps there are gold borders, thick golden borders in between, and they are so clean. The floor is made up of chintamani, they say. Still they are sweeping it. Why they are sweeping it? Simply to earn the favor of the Lord. And it is said in such a Vaikuntha Loka, the Lakshmijis, they are very steady there, and they are very calmly situated. They are very happily situated. They don't want to leave that place and go elsewhere, anywhere. In the material world, Lakshmi never stays with anybody. She is always jumping from one person to another person. Always. Every day, you can see in the beginning of the month, Lakshmi comes into your pocket. End of the month, your pocket is empty. Like that. But in spiritual world, Lakshmi is staying fixed in one place, at the feet of Vishnu. So not like the place of Ravana. Ravana tried to bring Lakshmi, later on Lakshmi was taken away. Whereas in the abode of Vishnu, Lakshmi is very happily staying and rendering services to win the favor of Lord Vishnu. In this way, Lord Vishnu is the center of everyone in Vaikuntha. Simply all the time there are conscious being blown, prayers being offered, Lord has rendered various varieties of services. In fact, the Lakshmiji, it is said in the gardens, they pluck the tulasi leaves and they offer it to Vishnu and they perform worship. And they are completely satisfied in that. So there are many more descriptions you can read about the Vaikuntha planets. And then Brahmaji is telling the demigods that it is so unfortunate that all the people of the world, in this material world, are simply absorbed in talking about the mundane affairs of life. How to make life a better place here, in this rotting material world. How they are so foolish that they are wasting their life, not discussing the glorious Vaikuntha Loka, glorious spiritual world. And then he is telling them, actually now you all are in danger. That is why you are coming to me. But try to understand that world is available for you and me, for everyone. Every human being is endowed with intelligence. How to perfect his life and return back to that kingdom of God. So in this way, Brahmaji explained elaborately about Vaikuntha Loka. Now, above this Vaikuntha Loka, also there is Goloka Vrindavan. As it is explained, Devi Mahesha Haridama Suteshu Teshu. It is explained, the Devi Dham is the material world where we are living. Above that there is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Mahadev, which is in the intermediate zone between spiritual world and the material world. And then above that is Haridam, which is the Vaikuntha Loka, of which the chief is Goloka Vrindavan. So, in the Vaikuntha Loka, there is a great awe and veneration with which the Lord is worshipped as Narayan, just like the Prime Minister is respected in the Parliament. Same way, Vishnu is worshipped with great awe and veneration in the Vaikuntha Lokas by all the inhabitants. Whereas in Goloka Vrindavan, there is a very intimate relationship of the Lord with his devotees. I was recently reading some verses from Padyavali, Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, very interesting verses. He says that what happens in the spiritual world? Like the gopis are telling small boy, baby Krishna, show me your eyes, Gopal, and he shows the eyes. Show me your nose, he shows the nose. Show me your lips, shows the lips. Show me your head, showing the head. And he says, in this way, that Krishna who is being controlled by the elderly gopis, let him give me the test of his lotus feet. And then in another prayer he says, Krishna is speaking to some of the devatas in Vrindavan, here in Burma Vrindavan, he is telling some of them, oh, Indra, come here, you come and sit by my left side. He is telling, sit on my left. Oh, Brahmaji, you come and sit on my right side. And then he says, oh, Kubera, I didn't see that you have come. You are offering obeisances from so far away. Come here, come here. Seeing boy Gopal speaking in this way, Mother Yashoda came and asked, hey Gopal, what are you blabbering? Come for eating now. She immediately seizes Gopal into her arms and goes away. Chacha Yashoda Mayi, let she offer her blessings to me. Like that he is saying. And then he is saying in another prayer, he is saying, one gopi is telling Krishna, Krishna is actually not sleeping. They have put Krishna in the bed. And his eyes are closed and in between only one eye opens. So seeing that the gopis are understanding, see, he is not sleeping. Then Mother Yashoda was about to go to sleep. But then the other gopis come and tell her, see, your son is not sleeping. Then all the gopis surround his bed to see to it that Krishna goes to sleep. But then he is not ready to sleep. Then they start telling him a story. Then they tell him that there was a great king called Ram. And Krishna with his eyes closed, he keeps saying, tell further. And then they further tell him. But then this Ram was sent to forest along with his wife Sita. Go ahead, he said. And then they told him, but while he was living in the forest, one great demon called Ravana came and kidnapped his wife. Then Krishna heard it, he jumped from his bed and he asked, Lakshman, Shatrughna, bring my bow and arrow. I'm going to kill Ravana. So he called for the bow. Bring me the bow. Three times Krishna shouted. So he prays, may that Krishna, who is the protector of his devotees, let him offer his blessings to me. So there are many wonderful prayers like this. So the spiritual world is full of pastimes like that, very intimate pastimes. You know, there was a discussion between Bhaksa and Saraswati and one very learned professor from London, when he came to India for research in religion, so there was a discussion. So according to the professor, the greatest form of worship is treating God as a father. But Prasanna Sudha was trying to explain to him how treating God as a father is not that high platform. Because when we treat God as a father, we generally worship Him out of some kind of gratitude. We tell God that You are giving me daily food, You have made my situation so nice that I am happy now, You have given me this, You have given me that. So that type of worship is motivated by some kind of thing we are getting from Him in return. Then it cannot be called as love. Love means it has to be unmotivated. So I explained to him how the love of the gopis for Krishna, if you see, that is unmotivated because they want to serve Krishna. They want to give food to Krishna instead of asking Him food. You give me food. They give us our daily bread. Instead of that, we are giving Krishna food. You cook bhoga for Krishna and you offer Him. Don't go and ask Him, you give me food. So that is the higher platform. Similarly, in the spiritual world, all the elderly gopis are worshipping Krishna in the, not worshipping, they are reciprocating with Krishna in the vatsalya, the sakhas of Krishna are playing with Krishna, wrestling with Him, dancing with Him. If you read Krishna book, you will get to know so many pastimes. How they are hopping and jumping like frogs, and they are laughing and imitating the monkeys. They are imitating the birds flying in the sky by trying to catch their shadows. They are peeping into the well and calling ill names when the echoes come back. And Krishna is imitating the peacocks dancing. Even today you can see in Vrindavan more kuti is there, that Krishna imitated the peacocks. So there are many pastimes. They would make swings in trees and they would be swinging. And Krishna would play many games. In this way, in the spiritual world, there is no duty to be performed by anybody other than simply merrymaking. See, everyone wants fun in life. Like you see, there are many hoardings which show, come to Lonavala, you can do merrymaking. Now the season is coming, rainy season. And people want to just put aside all their business, everything else, and just go to Lonavala for fun. So that at least for some time you can have fun. That means everyone wants fun in life, isn't it? Everyone wants. But you can't have fun all the time in the material world. Not possible. You can probably have a couple of days fun, Lonavala, come back to business and again work hard. Whereas, spiritual world is a place of merrymaking, not only for the Lord, but for all His devotees also. So the topmost amongst all the five rasas is Madhurya rasa. Madhura or Madhurya. In which the devotees of Krishna love Him and worship Him in the mood of conjugal love. That's the topmost. Here in the next verse, purport, if you see, Prabhupada is giving a description of Goloka Vrindavan. From Brahma's Beta and Brahma Samhita, you can see the purport. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described in the Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, and He is called Govinda, the primal Lord and the cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow His flute, Venum Panantam. His transcendental form is most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals and the color of His body is like the color of clouds, Shyam Sundar. He is so attractive that His beauty excels that of thousands of cupids. He wears saffron clothes, a garland around His neck and a peacock feather in His hair. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small hint of His personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, which is the supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in Brahma Samhita. So, not only in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, even in many Upanishads, there are descriptions about the spiritual world that is beyond this material world. So, that is the actual world. Like, there are many pictures, you see, like here is a picture of Krishna dancing in Sati dance with gopis. Similarly, there are pictures where in the evening, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are waiting to receive Krishna, returning with the cows and calves. And Srimati Radharani, Velita and Vishakha, they all are waiting with Arati place to greet Krishna and to offer Arati to Him. And Krishna is coming along with His friends, Sridhama, Sudhama, Madhumangal, all of them. They all come running. And Krishna is face is covered with the dust raised by the hooves of the cows and calves, and his hair is falling in the front. And that sight is considered to be the most beautiful by all the residents of Braja. And Krishna returns back after tending the cows in the day. And in the morning when Krishna goes to tend the cows, all the gopis are absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. Throughout the day, they are meditating on Krishna, meditating on what Krishna will be doing with his friends. And all the gopis are guessing, Krishna must be doing this with his friends, he must be doing that. And Krishna goes to tend the cows, but then going to tend the cows is only an excuse, simply to take the cows. Once the cows go into the forest, then Krishna has his own games with the friends. They play a lot of games. And then when Krishna gets tired, then he lies on the lap of one of his friends. And even Balaram serves him by fanning or massaging his feet. Sometimes they play with omelette fruit. So this way they spend all day simply playing and enjoying. That is why the Upanishads define God is one who has no duty to do. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. He has no duty to do. Is there any one in the world who can say, I have no duty to do? Everyone has duty. Son is thinking how to earn money and give my parents. He has this duty. Parents have duty how to raise the child. Wife has duty towards husband. Husband has duty towards wife and children. But in the spiritual world, it is said, the absolute truth, Krishna has no duty to do. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. All the activities performed are simply performed out of love and to increase one another's ecstasy. So everyone is doing. It is said there is no Surya there, or Chandra. Although it is said still there is Surya in the spiritual world. But why there is Surya? The Surya or the sun is present only to increase the ecstasy of Krishna in the Vrajbasis. How? When the sun shines very powerfully, then there is heat of the summer. Then immediately clouds get a service. Clouds go and stand in the top of Krishna's head. And they start pouring tiny flowers. And also they start drizzling so that they can give a very soothing effect to Krishna. And also Yamuna feels, oh, it is so hot. So she starts sprinkling water on Krishna and throwing lotuses on Krishna's lotus feet. And seeing this, all the grasses, they get ready. Come on. Now Krishna is going to, it's going to be very hot on the road, so Krishna will come and walk on us. So let us all be ready to render service to him. Like that. And even the trees, they start feeling very eager that we should wave so that Krishna gets enough air from the heat of the sun. Like that. So in this way, everyone starts rendering service to Krishna. So when anything is arranged in the spiritual world, the purpose is to enhance Krishna's service. It is said the flowers are already beautiful. But when Krishna looks at them, they become immediately fully blossomed. They become even more beautiful. So they increase their beauty. And seeing their increasing beauty, when Krishna sees them, he smiles. And by seeing a smile, then flowers increase their beauty even further. So these things cannot be understood. How the things are limitlessly increasing. That is why Ananda Ambari Vardhanam, it is said. Pratipadam Purna Amrita Swadhanam. So this nectar. So, every pebble, every stone is made up of chintamani. Chintamani means you take one chintamani and you can use it for making everything into gold. Anything you touch it, it will become gold. But the spiritual world is fully made up of that only. Whole spiritual world. So, ultimately, people sometimes wonder what happens in the spiritual world, what is going to go on. Is there a beginning, is there an end? There is no end. It's a life of eternal festival. Day after day. It goes on and on and on like that. The glimpse of the spiritual world is given by the Lord when he comes to the material world. That's why in the previous lecture I was telling you the large pastimes are like an embassy to the spiritual world. In an embassy, if you go to American embassy, you can know more about America. Similarly, if you read Bhagavatam or Ramayana, Mahabharata, then you can get a glimpse of what is going on in the spiritual world. What the activities that take place. Very amazing. You should read Krishna book, you can read Srimad Bhagavatam. So by reading them, these are very soothing to the heart. Like the gopis are praying to Krishna. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kaviriritam kalmashapaham
Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Grinantiye Bhuri Gajana.
So they are saying, Tava Katha Amritam, my dear Krishna, your Katha Amrit. Katha Amrit means your nectar like pastimes. Tatta Jivana. Our hearts are like a desert. And desert is always grassed of water. So in our desert like hearts, your Katha Amrit is flowing and it's like a downpour of rain in our hearts. And Kavi Viriditam, the great Kavis or learned devotees, they always glorify these pastimes about you. Kalmasha Apaham. All the sinful tendencies in our heart will be vanquished by that. And Shravana Mangalam, and they all are very auspicious to hear. By auspicious, by hearing them, one becomes more and more and more transcendental. One advances spiritually. Shravana Mangalam. In this way, they are going Srimad Adatam, Bhuvi Grinantiye, Bhuri Gajana. All those devotees are glorifying these things, they are the real well-wishers of the whole world. In this way, the gopis are glorifying, in the Gopi Gita. So many such wonderful verses describing Krishna and the spiritual world. So here, in this verse, Krishna is telling about such a spiritual world where Krishna is actually eagerly awaiting every soul to return back. Actually, we all belong to that spiritual world. You know, there is Swarupa and Swabhava, we say. One of the Swabhava of the Tatastha Shakti or the Jiva is to either be in the spiritual world or be in the material world. So now we have chosen the second option. We have left such a beautiful spiritual world and we have come to this material world. So what personally gave me faith in the spiritual world was this. I have been reading many, many books, many philosophical books before. What the absolute truth is. But here in Prabhupada's books you understand one thing. How this material world also has beautiful mountains, beautiful bushes and trees and gardens and lakes and waterfalls. Like you know, you go to Lonavala, you are completely struck to see the beauty of nature. Similarly, you also see the beauty of people, beauty of children, beauty of men, beauty of women. You see beauty. So all these things in the material world, what we see, these are all pratibhimba, no? Vikrit pratibhimba, perverted reflection. The original beauty exists in the spiritual sky. Without that, the material world cannot have beauty. That's why in one of the verses of Bhagavatam, Brahmaji is saying, Ritayartam yat pati yetana pati yetacha atmani. Tat vidhi atmano maya. Lord told Brahmaji. He told him, Ritay means truth. My dear Brahmaji, if you find in this world anything splendorous, very beautiful and very enticing, enticing is a derogatory word. Huh? It's not a positive word. Entice means to charm you negatively. In this world, if anything is there which is very beautiful and enticing and charming the heart of a living entity, but you find that it has no connection to the absolute truth, that is God, Krishna Himself, then understand that to be my Maya, Maya potency. Understand that to be my Maya. That means anything that you see separate from Krishna is Maya. And that's what this material world is. Wherever you look around, there are so many things that entice us and charm our hearts. But then when you go near, you understand there is nothing. Just like in the desert you find this, what do you call that? Miraj. Miraj appears like water. When you go near, there is nothing. Similar to the beauty also. Just like when a child is newly born, people are so happy. Hey, just look at the child. He's so rosy. Child is like a flower. Somebody says, hey, look at his nose. It's like the father's nose. Look at his eyes are like the mother's eyes. Everyone is surrounding the child and one mother is carrying, one lady is carrying on her lap and giving it to the next lady and everyone wants to catch the child. And the teeth comes, you say, just look at the teeth. One teeth has come. After you grow up, who wants you? More you grow up, people want to keep distance from you. Like, you know, I heard a story. A man had become so old that nobody wanted him in his house. They had kept him in the innermost recesses of the house. But gradually they brought him to the next room, next room, next room. At last they brought him to the last room. And they put him very close to the door, indicating that they want to throw him out very soon. So he became an unwanted person in the family. But then one day the man started speaking something. He was so old he couldn't speak, all the teeth were gone and eyes had gone into the sockets. And his body was emaciated. So he was speaking, trying to say something. And they were wondering, what is it? Then son came running, saying he's going to die. And he is saying something. So this old man found, the old man was such a miserly person, that you know, he would protect everything at home very carefully. But now that he had grown old, nobody was protecting anything. But he found there was a broomstick very close to the door, which a cat was eating, a kitten was eating. Kitten was biting and breaking it. He could not tolerate it. When he saw that, his heart was breaking. He was trying to say something. Cat is biting. Kabya, 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 that's what he was saying. Nobody could understand what he is saying. And the son came running. And he thought, maybe he is going to die now. And he wants to tell me about some treasure that he has kept in the ground somewhere. Better bring the doctor. Then he went to the doctor and told the doctor. Then he brought the doctor and told him, please give him some injection or give him some medicine by which he will be able to speak out something. And the doctor saw his condition and said, oh, this person is now gone. In a few minutes he is going to die. But if you want me to make him speak, then you have to spend at least 25,000 rupees. So he can speak for a few minutes, that's all. After that he will die. So he told him, okay, only give him that much medicine which is required for him to speak a few words. You know. Only take that much money because he is going to, you know, tell me where the treasure is. You know. By getting the treasure, it should be more costly than what I am paying you now. So that interest he told him. Finally, when he gave the injection, and this man started speaking, what did he tell him? You fools, you don't understand, the cat is biting the broomstick. And then he died. So anyway, the story is said for various purposes. It is also said how people neglect you when you grow old, nobody wants you. And it also talks of the attachment one develops to the home and things of the home. Even at old age. So this can create detachment in our hearts when we hear this story. Otherwise everyone wants to be an apple of the eye of everyone else at home. So the more you can see how people are fond of a child in the beginning, but then nobody wants a child afterwards. Because the beauty goes away. Beauty goes away, the opulences go away as we grow. But spiritual world is a place where the beauty persists eternally. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu writes a very interesting point. He says, while our teeth are rotting and our body is growing old, we are looking for everlasting happiness in this mortal frame. Such a powerful sentence. His body is a mortal frame and having a rotting teeth. And while this body is producing obnoxious smells, we are looking, can I get some happiness in this world, this rotting body? He says, this is only because we are trying to put a cocoon around ourselves thinking that this world will give us some happiness. So we have to come out of the shell and go to the spiritual sky where one can experience everlasting happiness. So Krishna is giving an invitation in this verse. So when Krishna says, my abode, what are the words? Maam upaiti, earlier he said, isn't it? Taddhava paramam mama, he says, my abode. By saying that, what Krishna tells us, gives the assurance. If it is my abode, I know about it very well, and I am inviting you there. Come. So he gives assurance, he gives information, and he gives the authoritative statement, as he said about the horse's mouth. Hearing from a horse's mouth means hearing from a person who is fit to hear from, one who is qualified to speak. So Krishna is God, and he is telling about his own abode. Who else has to tell us? It is not another person, second party, who is telling you. Krishna is the owner of the spiritual world. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from him. Spiritual material, everything. And he is telling, this is my abode and I am inviting you. If you come here, you will become free from all suffering. So one should take Krishna's words seriously. So you can go through the purport, rest of the purport also. So next verse goes to another topic. So we'll stop here for today. But I would request all of you that you should read Krishna book, surely. How many of you have Krishna book with you? Very good, most of you have it. If you don't have it, please get a copy. It is such a wonderful book. It gives you a description of spiritual sky and what are Krishna's activities. You will really be very charmed. In fact, by reading Krishna book, our consciousness can be transformed very fastly. We can give up the nasty things of the world and acquire spiritually wonderful things of the spiritual world very quickly. If you have even little piety and if you read Krishna book, you will develop very deep faith in Krishna and his activities in the spiritual sky. Then you can make a swift progress in spiritual life. Bhagavatam also, I was telling last week, you should read Bhagavatam also. It's like the third kind of description of kingdom of God. If you read, it is so wonderful. Unfortunately, we are all not taught in our regular educational curriculum about these things. That's why people are chewing the chewed, as you say. Punaha punaha charvita charvanana. Simply we are talking about He-Man and She-Man and Batman and, you know, we are hearing about such people. He-Man and She-Woman. Batman, Phantom and all that. Spider-Man. So all fictitious personalities. Good for nothing. They can't do anything to you. So we should read about the real Superman, Krishna. He is beyond everyone. By reading about Krishna, understanding his spiritual abode, and hearing such authoritative statements, by developing faith in them, we will achieve, at the end of our life, kingdom of God, from where we will never return back to this mortal world. Hare Krishna. Any one question? Both. Krishna says, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshana. When you look at the material world, always think of the sufferings of the material world. At the same time, say, Anartha Nivritti, Artha Pravritti, it is said. Both have to be done. But you have to begin with Anartha Nivritti. You have to think of the Anarthas from which you are suffering and try to get Nivritti. And then the more Anarthas are going out of your heart, then attraction for Krishna will develop. Then you read more about Krishna in the spiritual world, as well as Artha Pravritti. Artha Pravritti means absorbing in Krishna and his pastimes constantly. Actually, at a very neophyte stage, if you try to hear Krishna's pastimes, then we will be bewildered. Or we may not develop faith. That's why in the beginning, like all of you all have been hearing for a long time. Many of you are initiated. You all can read Krishna book and Bhagavatam very well. And certainly read such things and you will be able to very much appreciate them, suddenly. As the heart becomes more and more purified, the more we will develop faith in these things. What Krishna is talking about spiritual world. Eyes will become more and more clearer.
Last time you told that there is a hint of time in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
So are there days and nights?
As I told you, Tatat Bhasiti, Suryo, Nashi, Shankori says, but still there is moon. You know, when Krishna is doing residence, the moon is also shining in the sky to enhance the pastime. That is why it is said, in spiritual world, anything can be there to increase the bliss of Krishna. Like there is a Yogamaya who is making arrangements for all the devotees, it is said from morning to night, whatever activities will go on in the spiritual world. That means there is day and night there also. But why it is said there is no day and night? There is no passage of time.
Time doesn't pass.
Like right from the Viraja river, where Mahavishnu lies and producing all the material universes. Even there is time, otherwise how is he taking shots without time? The universes are coming and going in. There is time, but the time doesn't influence the Lord and his devotees. It doesn't influence them.
It exists.
It exists, yeah. So time also becomes becomes like a servant of the Lord. The Lord says, no, Kalos Neham Lokachayaka Prabhupada, I am the time factor in the material world. So Krishna, by being the time factor in the material world, he is shaking, he is dominating the whole world. But the same Krishna, he uses the time in the spiritual world as a factor for enhancing the pastimes.